We are so excited that this latest message from Truth Movement Church can meet you where you are today. This message from TMC will help you to apply the truth of God's word to your everyday life. It's practical and powerful. Enjoy His word.
I'm not going to be before you long today because the message that God has given me seems to be very pointed and very direct. So I don't have to take a long path through the text to get to where we're going. But when we do get to where we're going, I want to make sure that I'm able to sit on it long enough to make sure that we leave with it. Amen? Because I truly believe that when you listen to the word of God, if you take it beyond listening and actually digest the word and make it applicable more than entertaining, then you can grow and leave different every time you come into the presence of God. I don't understand why people sit under the word for any other reason other than growth. Amen? But before we get into the text, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father God, humbly I come before you right now, God. God, and Tina sits down. God, I ask that you let your spirit rise up in me. Lord God, more important than my thought is your word. So God, I ask God that you would bridle my tongue, but yet word my mouth. God, that I say only what you have given. Father, you take over this atmosphere. God, right now, this word that you have trusted me with, Lord God, let me give it to your people with the power that you gave it to me. Father, right now, I take authority over this atmosphere that any agenda that the enemy may have had, we call it to cease right now in the name of Jesus. We bind every distraction. God, let your presence rest right here, God. God, I ask God that you speak so in this atmosphere that it is undeniable. God, for anything in us that might have chosen to disagree, God, I ask that you snatch back that thought, God, and bring us into the obedience of what you are doing right here in this room this morning, oh God. Father, we recognize that you are the final authority. So, God, as we come to your feet right now, God, I ask, God, that you would open our hearts, our minds, and our understanding. God, don't let us leave here the same way that we came. God, we understand that there will be spiritual growth by the word that you give. God, water us with your word, oh God. Father, I thank you for what's going to take place through your word on this morning. I thank you, God. I praise you, God. I honor you, oh God. And I count these things as already being done in your son Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I am excited. I'm so serious and excited about this word because it's familiar text to me. And those of you who know, I really, really like scripture. But I like the characters in scripture. Like I like people in scripture because if you study long enough and you take it as words off, you take the words off the paper, it makes them so much more real. When you recognize that they're not just characters, this isn't like Little Red Riding Hood. No, these are people that have history and they have emotion, they have thought processes. And when you actually make the people in text, you can get so much more out of it. And that's why I enjoy the people that we'll be discussing today. Now, you guys are going to have to bear with me because, you know, I'm a hand talker and I am tired of holding this microphone. So podcast family, forgive me if it starts to sound like this every now and then because I wave my hands. I'm going to do my best to behave, though, okay? So go with me to Genesis chapter 15. And I am reading from NIV. Genesis chapter 15, NIV. So let me tell you ahead of time, I'm going to be skipping around in the text because if I read it all, I feel that I may lose you. I might lose your attention and you won't place your attention on the parts that I need you to focus on. Okay? So I'm going to start with Genesis 15, chapter 1. Please read along with me, not out loud, but just follow along, okay? After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Say vision. Don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abraham said, You have given me no children, So a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord and credited him as righteous. Now go down to verse 12. They're still in conversation. As the sun was setting, Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they served as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. Now go down to chapter 16, verse 1. Now Sarai, also known as Sarah, later known as Sarah, now Sarai, Abram's wife, was born him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. She said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abraham agreed with Sarai. So after Abraham had been living in Canaan for 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abraham, you are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. Your slave is in your hands, Abram said. Do with her whatever you think is best. Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. So go down to verse 11, and this is after Hagar has fled and the Lord has found her. He says, 11 says, the angel of the Lord also said to her, her being Hagar, you are now pregnant, and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility towards all his brothers. That's quite the mess there in scripture, isn't it? So we have Abram, who we later know as Abraham, but before his name change, Abram. And we see that God has promised him that you'll have a son. And not only will you have a son, you'll have descendants larger than you can count. Number you can't even count. And then we go down to verse 16 and we see that Sarai, also known later known as Sarah, she has no children. So at that point, she had no children yet. And in reading the scripture, I've always wondered why God did not tell them both at the same time. They both want kids. Why didn't you, like, I'm going to bless y'all. Y'all are going to have children, and it's going to be numerous, and your descendants will go on forever and ever, and they will be my chosen people. But it brought me to the question, can you be trusted with vision? Because oftentimes when what you seriously desire lines up with what God has promised, the impatience for the fruition can pressure you to make a move without instruction. And too often, we're in that position where you have to wonder, can I be trusted with vision? Because it's very dangerous to be in the position. And, like, let's be honest. Let's keep it real. We can understand the pressure. Because in that day, it was disgraceful for women not to be able to give birth. If I got one job, you know, I got one job, and that's to give my husband children, and to not be able to do it, and then for obviously everybody knows, because here you have your husband and he has no children and it is your fault, that's a very disgraceful position to be in. So she's pressed in this point because something has to give. Okay, so let's go back to the text in verse 16. Chapter 16, I'm sorry. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children. But she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." I put myself in Sarai's spot because we've been in this vision series this entire time. And we pray for to understand the vision and to receive the vision. But God, I also understand that vision and plan are also often not given at the same time. Why? Because it takes a certain level of spiritual maturity and discipline to be able to walk out and accept plan and to embrace vision. So then that makes you have to really ask yourself, am I at a spiritual growth, a level of spiritual growth, God, where you can trust me with vision? Because if you get, it's easy to resent vision when you don't understand the plan. It's very easy to decide that I would rather do away with vision because I don't embrace the steps that go along with the execution of the vision. But then at the same time, you have to be careful because I can't grasp, let's be honest, we know the God that we serve. He has always been faithful. He has always been just. He has always been almighty. He has always been powerful. And if we believe God, that that is the truth when it comes to the God that we serve, why isn't it that we can't just be happy at vision? Why is it that when he presents the vision, why do we always have to go to the how when he presents the what? When he tells you, I'm going to make a ministry out of your family. Why can't we just be happy at the what? No, we instantly start thinking of the how. We have decided what ministry it is. We have decided who all is going to minister to. We have decided just how broad and big it is going to be. We've gone way past the what, and we've completely embraced the how. And the problem is when you put all of your hope in the vision, it's a matter of time before you separate the vision from the God who gave it. Because just think about it. How often is it that the vision becomes the focal point of the relationship? God has trusted me with the vision, and now I'm so much more connected to the vision that I've now put all of myself into the vision. My worship is now overwhelmed by what God has promised. My prayer time is overwhelmed by what God has promised. If God's not speaking specifically about the vision, then it's not a word. I can only be ministered to when it's coming down the lane of what has been promised. If it does not touch the emotion that I have attached to the vision, then it ain't for me. Church was all right. It was okay. It was good. But it didn't touch the vision where God has promised. And now the vision has eclipsed God. And anytime you put most of your hope in the vision, that's when your faith has now been in the vision and not the God who gave it. And this is why our faith takes so many hits. Because our faith was never in the God, it was more in the vision. So if God seems delayed on the execution of the vision, now I have a problem with God. And this is where we find Sarai, where she says, God has kept me from having children. Like, I could do it if it wasn't for God. I mean, I'm a woman, I could do it, but God kept me. He's keeping me from doing what it is that I'm called to be doing. And then she says, you go sleep with my slave so I can have my family through her. It is a dangerous place to be when you separate the vision from the God who gave it. Because that makes you have to execute the vision that you were given. And right there in between the two, you leave room for bitterness. It is a dangerous place because you start to operate and decision make and manufacture a plan based in bitterness. You are not equipped to make that decision. You don't know enough of the future, and you don't have a great enough understanding of the past for you to be trusted with the plan making of the execution of the vision. But here she was pressed to make something happen, both out of desire and promise. But here's why you have to be so careful. Let's go back to chapter 15. Chapter 15, let's go to verse 13. It says, then the Lord said to him, know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated there. Sarai links her husband Abram up with her Egyptian servant, Hagar. She brought her in and had her to marry her husband. So now Hagar, the Egyptian, is married to Abram, the father of faith. But we just learned in verse 13 that God had already explained, I'm going to give you a child, and from them will come descendants more than you can count. But for 400 years, they will be in bondage by a people who we now know to be the Egyptians. So she and Sarah, in her pressing and manufacturing, has now married promise with bondage. It is a dangerous thing for you to decide how to manufacture God's plan. Because anytime you connect promise with bondage or with your, out of your own bitterness, you will create conflict. Now let's read the description of the son she's going to have now that Sarah has created. Go back to verse chapter 16 in verse 11. The angel of the Lord says to Hagar, the Egyptian slave who was now pregnant, you are now pregnant and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael. The Lord has heard your misery. 12, he will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone and everyone's hand against him. He will live in hostility towards all his brothers. How many hostile situations have you created because you couldn't wait on God to execute his vision? How much conflict have you created because you couldn't be trusted with vision? Why? Because you move too fast. You move too much. You think beyond God. So now that you've created all of these situations, you got places you can't go and people you can't deal with because you've created these hostile situations. You've damaged relationships, jobs, because you can't be trusted because you manufactured now what has created a hostile situation. Atmospheres are disturbed now by your presence because you've manufactured this hostile situation. You have to be very careful. When you put your hand to God's vision, you will never be able to outplan. You will never be able to outthink the God who gave and created vision. Every promise that he's given, he is faithful to complete. Guess what? He doesn't need your help in that process. And what here, let's Sarah off the hook. Her plan made sense. It's supposed to be children. I'm getting older, so obviously you didn't mean me. And it just makes sense that there is an able body right here. It made sense in that day. Don't try that stuff today. That is not going to fly for you. Not going to fly for you. But when you make a decision out of emotion, then now you have outstepped God. And now there's a mess that has been made. Now there's lives that have been broken. Now there's situations that now seemingly can't be undone. But here's what I love about God, because hopefully you sat under the word, you sat under the vision series, we're able to really look at things. And even here in this moment, you can say, you know what, God, I can look back and I can see the manufacturing of my own doing. I can look back, God, and I can see areas where you might have prematurely trusted me with vision that I wasn't spiritually mature enough to handle. I can look at different things, God, and I took what you said and I ran far from where you were going with it. And some of us are sitting in relationships and sitting with just different versions of messes that we have made with good intention. But here's why I love the God that we serve. So we're riding from one of Kennedy's volleyball events. And when I tell you, listen, if your child's looking for a sport, and you're not ready to tie your whole life to it, don't pick volleyball, pick something else. Because I spend a whole lot of time in my car and in travel because volleyball will trump your whole life. So we're riding to one of her volleyball events. And I used GPS. Now, I cannot remember if I had Cody in the car, if I had my husband in the car, if I had one of the other volleyball moms in the car. Either way, I put the thing in the GPS. And you know how GPS works. It like it spins for a minute, and then it finds you. You're on the phone. You see a little blue dot where you are, and then there's a line to where you're going to go, and then you see your destination, and you can see all that in one screen. So I see, I was like, oh, okay, that looks familiar. I know we had been there before, around there before. So, okay, I got it. So I followed the GPS to where the highway, and then it says like 26 more miles on this road. Well, it's straight, 26 more miles. I don't really need to base my battery with 26 more miles. Okay, so I clicked the little screen, I put it in the cup holder, and we carry on in conversation. And so we're riding, and we're riding, and we're riding. Now, volleyball is very strict on time. You're going to be there when they say you're going to be there. You're not going to play. Like, you can't be late. 2 or 3 minutes late, you play too much, you're in trouble. So we're riding, riding, and talking. And I don't know about you, but car conversations are the best because you can get, like, really into your conversation when you're in the car with them. It's like, and it makes the ride fast. You know what I mean? Like, it goes so much faster. So we're riding and we're riding. And then I realized, you know, we are like 35-ish minutes out of the way. Like, I've completely forgot about time because I'm so engaged in the conversation that I'm having. And I'm like, we're like 35 minutes out of the way. What happened? So the next exit sign that comes up, I'm like, wait a minute. Where is this? Like, why? I didn't realize just how wrong I was until I saw a sign. And by that time, I'm 35 minutes out of the way. But now I'm 35 minutes out of the way and I'm mad because I'm lost, I'm delayed, and I'm angry. Because not only do I not know where I am, I don't know where I went wrong. But I got to be mad at somebody. So I turned to, why didn't you say something? I turned to the passenger. You see, we out here, and you didn't say nothing. I didn't hear the GPS say nothing. Like, what happened? And I think for a lot of us, we have wandered so far off the way. Why? Because I felt too confident, and I stopped listening to the instruction. I got to where it was familiar enough to me. This should be an easy coast from here. So I just stopped listening to the instruction at all. And I trust my own ability to go ahead and handle the situation. But why it messed me up so bad is because not only did I not understand where I was, I didn't even remember where I went wrong. I didn't recognize where I missed it. Somewhere along the way, even though I was comfortable all the way up until there, when I realized I was lost, I didn't know how to get back because I don't even know how long I was lost. Why? Because I took it into my own hands. And I decided it's simple enough. I can just be able to make my way. You don't have to stay in the situation that you manufactured. Let me tell you the worst thing that you can do. You manufacture your way into an issue. Don't try to manufacture your way out of it. You didn't do good getting yourself there. Don't trust you to, but that's what we do. We be like, let me work my way back and then pray about it so that God can fix it. But I've messed it up so bad. Let me discipline myself again and get me back to where I need to be and let me do that. And then the vision can be executed once I get myself back to where I messed up. But guess what? There's a good chance that you don't really know where you missed it. But here's what's so awesome about the God that we serve. Now that I'm 35, 36, 37 minutes out of the way, I get off the highway at this unknown exit and I let my car be still. And I put back in the destination of where I was trying to go. And this amazing GPS took a minute and it found me where I was. In my lost spot where nothing was recognizable to me. And the chaos that I've now created in the car that I'm in, it found me where I was and it led me to where I was going from where I was at. It didn't give me directions from where I was supposed to be. It gave me directions from where I was. And guess what? This time, as I got back on the road, I didn't turn the GPS off this time. Even when it got familiar to me, even when I knew, even when it said 4 minutes away, even when the destination was in view, I didn't turn the GPS off until it says, you have arrived at your destination. When you go back and you look at it, don't go back and try to find your way to your spot. Go back and say, God, you know what? I need to dial back in. Because somewhere along the line, I missed it. I missed the turn. I missed the exit. I missed the assignment. I missed it. I got overwhelmed with where I was going that I did not pay attention to the instruction. So God, here, in the mess that I've created, right here, find me here. Find the broken pieces, because I'm sure by now, God, I've crushed it. But if you collect the pieces, God, and you rebuild it, I promise this time I will follow your instruction through the uncomfortable part, through the familiar part. I won't tune out the GPS this time. I believe that some of us, God, all of us, God, need to take a second to just come back to the feet of the Father. Does anybody need a redo? I don't know about you, but there's some things. And now, listen, we're not talking about, it's easy to disqualify it if you think stuff like habits that I've created and these catastrophic things that happen in my life. But no, it doesn't have to be that. Sometimes, like, God, I don't think the way that you have called me to. I address things and excuse things, God, that you have called me to altogether dismiss. God, and here I am in this spot, and I need a reroute. I need for you, God, to find me where I am. Now, here's the thing. Abraham went back, and later on in text, Abraham went back and he prayed for the son that he created. And God said, I will honor your prayer and I will bless him. Now, it didn't stop who he was going to be. Ishmael was still going to be a wild donkey of a man. Ishmael is still going to be in hostile situations always. But Abram invited God into the mess that he made and said, my hand will still be on it. He's still going to be who he is and do what he does, but I'm still going to bless him. If you're waiting for what you've created to vanish now because you got it right, you'll be disappointed in God, because there's no guarantee he's going to undo it, but he'll have his hand on it either way. So I ask you again, can you be trusted with vision? Stand to your feet. I want to make sure that we completely understand there is an expectation that God has for us when it comes to the things that he trusts us with. And the expectation that God has, he does not gauge like man does. Because he knows our hearts and he knows the way that we think. He knows the way that we operate. He knows every detail about us. So for those of us who have wandered way off the GPS instructions, it would be very easy for only you to know that. Because have you ever been absent but present? Or lost in a safe place? And you could be very well here, but God recognizes that you have wandered yourself into a situation. You have wandered yourself into a mess of your own making. That you saw this but created that. But because God is so awesome and so faithful, he doesn't say, let you go figure it out. And what's even more beautiful is he will trust you with vision again. You did not disqualify yourself from what God wants to do. Just let him bring you back. He didn't erase the vision because you wandered from it. All you have to do is get back to that little blue line on the GPS. What does it say? It says, like, find the route. In other words, your little rerouting, your little blue dot is way over here, but the line is way over here. All you have to do is just come back to the line. And he will bring you right back. He is faithful. He is God. Let yourself off the hook. Stop the car. Dial back in and ask God, God, line me back up with the vision again. And let me follow your steps all the way to it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for being the amazing God that you are. God, we thank you for the word, God, that you trusted us with this morning, God. Father God, I ask, God, that you hold our hands, God, as we go back in our minds and in our lives, God, of the places that we wandered off. And God, I ask, God, that you would help us, God, to not overstep you in the plan. God, for every vision, God, that you have given, that we have allowed to eclipse you. Father God, we understand that there can only be one thing in first place. God, so we take our hope out of it and we put it back into you. God, that you are our focal point. God, we praise you because you're God. And we love you because you're God. Not for what you're going to do, not for what you've already done, God, but because you are God. You are the whole point. God, we seek you first. All the other stuff will be added. But God, we seek you first. We put you back in your rightful place. God, we understand, God, that we don't know enough to make a plan for what you have given. So God, we lean in to your plan. We lean into your instruction. God, we turn our heart and our ear towards you, God. Father, that you will order our steps and you would order our stops. Father God, we trust you. You have and always have been faithful. God, find us where we are. God, and lead us back to what you said. Father, I thank you for each and every person and each and every household under the sound of my voice. God, because with each and every one of us, God, you have a vision and you have a plan. God, help us to line up with the vision. Strengthen us, God, to walk out the plan. God, in every area where we have been deemed spiritually immature, God, help us to use the tools that you are giving, God, to grow. God, in areas where we are undisciplined, God, I ask, God, that you would strengthen us and discipline us, God, that we would be able to be a foundation that you can build on. Lord God, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. Father, I honor you, oh God. And I know, God, that these things are already done. This and all blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for streaming the latest message from Truth Movement Church. We pray that you found something in God's Word that you can deposit into your heart for future use. To stay connected with our ministry, like us on Facebook or Instagram, or learn more about us by visiting www.truthmovementchurch.org.